The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 67 degrees, beautiful sunshine, but yeah, you can still smell the smoke. Well, I'll tell you, that was brutal over the weekend, wasn't it? We have some open phones here over the next 20 minutes or so, and 770-5633. I'm going to talk with Deep Throat's lawyer, John O'Connor, former federal prosecutor, about some issues involving the 50th anniversary of Nixon's resignation. It's just recently passed by. On my sister's birthday, August 8th, is when that ended up happening. I saved the paper for years. I never know what happened to the Cleveland Plain Dealer that I saved back at that time, but we'll be talking about that. And also some more history with Dr. Dennis Powers, too. But I turn it over to you for the next 20, and we can talk about the conversation I had with Jackson County Sheriff Nate Sickler. What is your opinion about the need for a jail? I don't think there's any doubt that they need the jail at some point. A small jail for a 220,000, 230,000 population. And it was kind of okay back in the day. But I get it. I don't want to pay for it either. How would you suggest? What do you think really could be used? 770-5633. We can talk about that. Anything else on your mind, too? Let me go to one line. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Steve.
It's
how are you?
Salmon.
Good to hear from you. What's up, Steve?
Well, on the issue of the jail, I think back years past, and the Valley had a different tax base because there was a lot of wood products industry here. There was Cogap, there was Medco, there was Boise Cascade, which is still here, but not in the footprint that there it was.
You are absolutely right. It was a completely different tax base in those days. You're right.
Yeah.
Manufacturing, wood products. In other words, and also, frankly, earning money out of the forest instead of the forest costing money, which is what they do right now.
Absolutely. And having read that book about J.D. Vance, he's from the Rust Belt where the economy was destroyed by exporting jobs. We kind of live in a similar situation here. We live in the smoke belt.
Instead of it's an interesting name. It's a nickname. I wish we didn't have to be this way. But what's even worse is that it's smoke not coming from our own fires. But where do you go on a jail with a situation like that, though, given the tax base and everything else?
I don't have a solution for that. I just would like to point out that there is a lot of causes to our current situation. And when you look at what's going on, I talk to people all the time about the wood products industry and a lot of people just turn up their nose and say, well, we're raping the forest and they don't take into consideration what that meant at the time.
But don't those idiots understand that forest is going to keep growing one way or the other? And it's going to be harvested in one form or another.
They have an idea in their mind that they're saving something, and you just seem to not be able. I worked for 30 years in the industry. If you divide the production of the mills by the number of employees, I produced enough lumber to build about 1,000 houses. We have a shortage of houses now, partly because of the lack of income, but also the resource. People used to build their own houses here. I mean, when I was a kid, there was very few contractors. People built their own houses.
Interesting. All right. I appreciate your take on that here, Wild Salmon. I wish we could return to some of that, but we have to figure out how to move forward given the current semi-communism that we're enduring right now. 770-5633. What's on your mind? Anything is up for grabs here over the next 15 minutes or so.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Picking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And so they back away from the bio amid the stolen valor controversy, which is getting louder and louder. Minnesota National Guard Command Sergeant Paul Herr, who accused Walls of misleading voters about his military service in 2018. He was on Fox and Friends. He continually claims that he retired as Sergeant Major. He is not. He's a retired Master Sergeant. And then he recalled that Walls told other soldiers that he was going on deployment to Iraq while at the same time having backroom conversations with other peoples, other entities inside the National Guard to make sure that he could retire. I mean, if that was his move, fine, but don't lie about it. Don't lie about your rank either. And that's what he did. He used a rank that he never achieved in order to advance his political career.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
War, inflation, and recession. Did you know that experts call gold the everything hedge? Gold goes far beyond hedging against inflation or the stock market. It can potentially even guard you against today's wars in Ukraine and the Middle East. Not to mention the great economic danger of a recession coming, which is what we're all worried about. And that's why gold just hit another record high. And central banks, they just keep buying gold at a record pace. It's Linda here. Join me and thousands of people who have called Goldco the number one rated gold company. It's time you diversify your money with time-tested safe haven assets, physical gold and silver. Today, Goldco is offering our listeners up to 8 years in free IRA fees plus up to 8% in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, free bonus silver, and a free gold and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Call 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-G-O-L-D. Do it today. You can't wait.
You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on Southern Oregon's home for conservative talk. Mornings on KMED at 99.3 KBXG. Call Bill at 770-5633. That's 770-KMED. Here's Bill Myers.
18 after 7. We turn it over to you. You can be angry with me or whatever it is, but let's just talk about what's on your mind. And Lona, you say that I owe people on a fixed income apology. You go right ahead. Go ahead. What's up?
You were real flippant about saying they need to get over it. We're all on a fixed income.
Well, I told the truth, though.
You have no idea at the level of fixed income that a lot of people are on, and you have a way of increasing your income and possibilities. And when you're on Social Security or you're on Social Security disability,
yeah,
it is very minimum.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I completely understand, but I assure you one thing. You know, some Lona, I already work 60 hours a week. There aren't a lot of ways that I'm going to do that. I'm going to get a nighttime job to increase my income. The vast majority of wage slaves, you know, out there, you know, it's like, yeah, you might be able to get a side hustle, do a little sign. I wasn't trying to be flippant. I understand it could be really, really tough. But, you know, one of the biggest stereotypes is, well, it's about people on fixed income. Well, most people, if you're on salary, that's kind of your fixed income. You know, you're not getting overtime. You're not getting all those other kind of things. That's your salary and the costs go up. So I appreciate that. And I know that fixed income on Social Security could be a real burden. I get it. Okay, so I wasn't trying to be flippant about that, okay? But most people who are working, who don't have their own business, let's say, or whatever it is, or have another way, your income is your income at that point, okay? That's all I'm getting at.
I drove school bus for over 28 years, and I was a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to buy my own home. Yes, I worked 50 and 60-hour weeks.
Sure.
And I worked 7 days a week because we weren't allowed to draw unemployment. And thankfully, the state of Oregon, July 1st, allows school bus drivers, cafeteria workers, and so on, the classified employees, to draw unemployment. In order to work a job, you had to work 7 days a week because you wanted to drive a whitewater rafting bus.
Okay.
Before school's out.
All right. Well, that's really fine and good. That has nothing to do with the conversation about fixed income, though. But I appreciate the call. All right. 770-5633. Let me go to, let's see, Tom. Tom's here. Hello, Tom. How are you doing? What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I was looking at the whole jail situation. I confess I was busy during your conversation with the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
But I just keep thinking of how much our tax dollars are being diverted elsewhere. And it seems like most of the problems with the funding the jail come from Salem. There's a, you know, they basically decimated the capacity of this valley to produce income from their fatwa legislation and so forth.
Agreed.
And then the other thing is a question I'd have is, you know, is how much are the illegal aliens. How much is Jackson County spending to because of the you know, sanctuary state status? How much money is diverted to that in terms of education, health care, and also crime control? Then the last thing where it's where our money's being diverted, and I appreciate the call from the previous caller about driving buses and so forth, but she, I, and everyone else is paying for the Ukraine war, both in taxation and every time we go down and buy food or gas. So a lot of money is just being absorbed by a rapacious government on so many levels that we can't even fund local government here, which...
I would much prefer pretty high local taxes with local services provided by local people rather than hoping that, even as Nate Sickler was talking about, we got grants coming down, you know, this and that and the other. This is the stuff that we've been trained to do. You're not able to generate income in your own, so you just have to be a good little welfare state, you know, essentially.
Yeah. The further away you send your tax dollars, the less control you have over. But here, if we if the tax system was actually revised where it's collected and spent locally here, we know where these yahoos park their car at night and where they live and their addresses, and we even recognize them on the shopping mall.
Wouldn't it be interesting if when Congress wanted to send $100 billion to Ukraine or to the Ukraine or to what's going on in Iraq or Iran or Israel or anything else like that, that they had to go to every town and say, all right, cough up an apportionment of your taxes in order to take care of the common defense. How long do you think that we would be involved in these adventuresome wars?
Zero.
Exactly. Thank you. Let me go to Dave. Dave, you're suing, right? Suing over destruction of your property value in the Iron Gate. Fire away. What's up?
Yeah, well, first off, I have to send a notice of intent. And they're hiding their addresses, but I got a sleuth on it that's going to find them. And then I send them a notice in demand to make payment for the loss of the value based on the market rate here, which is the tax rate.
Well, I'll tell you, if you are successful at that in small claims, I have a feeling a lot of people will be joining you. Best of luck on that, okay? 770-5633. Holly Morton from Joe County. Hello, Holly. You wanted to talk about Commissioner John West. Go ahead.
Yeah, we were at the fair this weekend. Fantastic job they did there. But what really drove me crazy is that people kept coming to me and saying, oh, I went to the booth, they had a recall John West thing, and they're just, they have one lie after another. And it really frustrates me. This is just a huge political manipulation. They were saying, he took the pens away from the children for 4-H. They completely have that wrong. What happened is the 4-H people came and grabbed the pens just before the fair, and John West found out about it and made them put them back, got involved and made them put the pens back. Otherwise, we would have had no pens for the fair for these kids. And so they've got it all flipped around, and it's just a lot of manipulation. We have a very poor county, and what John is trying to do is balance the budget as well as he can. We're very administrative heavy in Grants Pass, in Josephine County, I should say. And what he's trying to do is trim down so that we don't have a lot of excessive people on the payroll in the county.
So your outflow, matches the income, in other words, right?
Well, as well as you can. I mean, we lost the timber industry over here, and so we're really struggling financially to keep the county moving forward. And so he's trying to make these really tough decisions. So you've got these yahoos that don't go to any of the meetings. They have no idea what's going on. They are having these little gossip sessions here and there about him, and it just isn't true. He's doing a really good job for our county. And he's trying very hard. He's the most accessible commissioner ever.
You know what I found interesting about this whole with John West is that, of course, did you see Stoddard's commentary over the weekend in the Daily Courier?
I did not. I heard about it.
Okay, yeah. He wrote about this, and he's talking about all of these, essentially nasty right-wingers. You know, the Mike Pelfrey's going to the Gold Hill the Gold Hill City Council meeting, where Lily Morgan, who is the head petitioner on this, is the city manager of that city, right? And I find it interesting that Scott was talking about all these people out there causing trouble. But did you notice who he didn't mention?
Lily?
No, Mark Seligman.
Oh, Mark Seligman.
Yeah. In other words, it's just a whole bunch of nasty right wingers that are, you know, going out there and, you know, and propping up something. I thought it was
Mark's a Democrat. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I just thought that was pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. So
it's a pretty good. I think people were just trying to warn the people over there that, you know, about some of the antics we have going on.
Yeah. I appreciate the call there. By the way, is there any movement here in the Grants Pass City Council as far as candidates go for mayor?
Sarah is going to run for mayor.
Mm-hmm. Going to run for re-election, sure.
Right. And Clint Scherf is going to run against her. And I think he's got a pretty good chance of winning. People are so sick of how she's been running the city. And I mean, she doesn't technically run it. All she does is run the meetings. But they're sick enough of that, you know, of the meetings, how slow they are. They, you know, and we can't do anything, all the whining.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll get in touch. We'll talk with Clint in the coming weeks, okay? All righty?
Yeah, he's true. All righty.
Thanks, Holly. 770-5633, and we have time for maybe 2-3 more calls. If you're on hold, I will get right to you. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Every carpenter wants to teach his son how to do carpentry, but daughters can build things too. So when it comes to carpentry, tools, lumber, and building materials, remember that making the right choice is very important. And the right choice for lumber and other building materials is Hughes Lumber. At Hughes Lumber, they offer the best lumber at the best prices to all builders. Hughes Lumber, serving everyone on Crater Lake Highway.
Saudis drop the petrol, times are changing fast. Russia, China, BRICS, they're shaking off the past. Down in Ashland Town, there's a place to find your trust. J. Austin and Company's where you gotta put your bucks. Dollar ain't as strong, but the silver's gleaming bright. Gotta hedge your bets, make sure you sleep at night. Winding through the hills to that little country store, J. Austin and Company will help you keep some more. Get your gold and silver, stash it while you can. Future's feeling shaky, better take a stand. J. Austin and Company, for your silver and your gold.
At Pressure Point Roofing, our dedicated team of repair and maintenance professionals work on hundreds of roofs a year. We can see where problems can start on your home or commercial property. We have the years of experience and commitment to quality that you need to protect your home or business. Having an annual inspection can prevent you from suffering through the damage, stress, and costs of an interior repair. Just like your car's oil change, preventative work can save you money and headaches. To schedule a repair, an inspection, or to learn more how a maintenance program can help you, visit PressurePointRoofing.com.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Appreciate you being here at 7:30. Alan DeBoer, great to hear from you. You wanted to weigh in a bit this morning, Alan. Welcome back.
I do. We have a huge opportunity to help fix the state. Dennis Linton comes running for Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get him elected. It's a game changer for Oregon. You know, Measure 110 wasn't really that bad. But the state never spent any of the money that went with it. That money had to go out instantly for getting help for people.
And it did not
go out.
Yeah, it did not.
It did not. And then we have a 17-year-old committing suicide that's in a hotel room that's been in the social service system since he was 2 years old, has a brother that has some disabilities. And that's been going on since I was in the Senate. I mean, they actually filed a lawsuit, and the state lost a bunch of money. You can't put kids in hotel rooms. We need to find fixes. And if you really want to fix things, Oregon spending is completely wasteful.
And so are you kind of then implying that with Dennis Linthicum as Secretary of State, the audit power, the real audit power, ends up being brought to bear on state agencies? Is that kind of where I hear you going on that, Alan?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, rather than I sat in the general government meeting and all these department heads come up and tell how great their organization is. And it's like, man, you've got like 30 vacancies in there, and they have a double dipping system where they can count that. But going into too much detail, the state wastes millions of dollars. And that traffic commission that came by, and the other one, I sat on the committee for school for the $2 million bill for the school. And I went to every school district in the state of Oregon, traveled thousands of miles. And that was nothing more than getting the senators to vote for the bill, because no report ever came out of our meeting about what was good. And there are school districts that were doing wonderful, school districts that were doing horrible, and no report out of it at all. It was all about the vote. And the same thing with these senators and representatives.
That's all it's about, driving that agenda. Senator, I really appreciate your take on that. And all I would say is that people have to dig into their pocket. And you go to electdennis.com, and it's going to take money. It's going to take money to take on the hordes here. And it you have to be able to run a credible campaign. And, you know, it's
better than the money.
What's that?
Give me a couple more minutes.
Okay.
Better than the money. I talked to Democrats about low-income.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to independents. We have to go out and vote. We can win anything if the independents and the NAVs actually vote. And I do want to give a quick apology to Miner Dave for my vote banning mining on the Rogue River. He was great in his discussions. And it's a stab that a few people wreck the things for the people. And I always feel, every time I hear him talk, I'm going, geez, I need to apologize for him. So I'll do it in the air. But get out and support Dennis Linthicum. The state is completely wrong in how it's run.
Alan, I thank you so much for joining in, and everything you've mentioned, duly noted, okay? 7:34. Let me grab Kevin. Hello. Yeah, it is Kevin. Hello, Kevin. Go ahead. Welcome.
Hi. Good morning, Bill.
Morning.
Hey, I just wanted to weigh in on the Commissioner West piece. When specifically, the Courier wrote an editorial about a week or so ago that with the OSU extension and the livestock issue, that John didn't care for the kids. And I'll just tell you what I've seen with my own eyes. We just had the livestock auction here this weekend, and John was there buying animals, helping the kids that didn't, where their animals didn't make weight. John was buying some of those and helping find people that could buy them. He goes to all of these auctions, New Hope Christian School, Rogue Christian Academy, Boys and Girls Club, and me and my wife are on the Joe's Place board, and John is very supportive. So those are the kind of organizations that help young kids that live in poverty or maybe have seen drug addiction, and you want to prevent homelessness, you start when they're kids, by mentoring and showing them skills and that there's a better way. So the Courier's hit piece on John was false.
Well, I appreciate your opinion on that, and thanks for the correction. And maybe you could just write to Scott. Maybe he'll print your correction. Yeah, Felican
well,
dream, can he?
And I just want to close with this, Bill. I am really concerned as a resident of Josephine County. It seems like nobody's ever a popular commissioner, and that we're in perpetual turmoil over here, and we need to get some continuity, and we need to work together. And a lot of people have great ideas for other people to do. That's
yeah.
what my wife's saying, but yeah. And I've heard you mention that on the air, but I want us to start coming together, communicating, and not hammering on everybody.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Kevin. And, Dirk, you had a question for the sheriff that I don't know if I can answer or not, but I'll tell you what, pose it, and we'll see if we can get an answer, okay?
Sure. My wife watches these true crime shows, and countless times rapists are uncaught because they have untested kits, and that just means more people have to get hurt. So locally, do we have untested kits that need to be tested, and what are we going to do about that to help protect rapists and murderers from more victims?
Wow. It has been a state scandal on the untested rape test at the state crime lab. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll reach out to Sheriff Sickler and see if he has a number on that, if we have a number of untested, and I'll get back to you on that one, Dirk. Okay? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. 7:36.
Moving to your dream property in the county? Most rural properties rely on a well. Clouser Drilling is here to make sure your dream doesn't turn into a nightmare. Before you buy, you'll want to make sure the well is producing plenty of water. If a new well is needed, making sure the property has good water is vital. Clouser Drilling can help. They have drilled thousands of wells in Southern Oregon and can help you make an informed decision. Clouser Drilling can perform research, schedule an on-site visit, and provide free estimates based on your area. Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
Millette Construction thinks Don't You Forget About Me, recorded by Simple Minds for the Breakfast Club soundtrack in 1985, is a great reminder to not walk on by if you see signs of your house's foundation cracking and crumbling. When rain keeps falling down, 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 it can cause slow change that may damage the concrete. Just call their name, Millette Construction, and they can fix the damage. It's their feeling you'll win in the end. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
News is sponsored by Millette Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. A Central Point man has been arrested in Portland in connection with a multi-state car theft ring. Authorities say the group used an electronic device to operate and steal muscle cars, including Challengers and Camaros. The cars were then sold on social media. The ringleader was identified as 21-year-old Eric Adams. He was arrested in Central Point. He's looking at 16 charges. Fire managers say they made good progress on several incidents in Central Oregon. West of Madras, the Elk Lane fire is 65% contained. East of Prineville, the Crazy Creek fire is 60% contained. The Jackson County Animal Shelter is over capacity, and they've stopped accepting animals because of an influx of law enforcement intakes and strays. The shelter is trying to farm the animals out to other shelters and rescues. The county is waiving adoption fees for all dogs that have been at the shelter for more than 100 days and reducing fees on other adoptable dogs. I'm Bill London. KMED News.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jolene with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. We've got summer savings on quality Continental tires. Through August, get a $110 Visa prepaid card in the mail when you purchase a set of qualifying tires for your truck, SUV, or van. And there's 16 different popular styles to choose from, including Cross Contact, 4x4 Contact, Terrain Contact, and Premium Contact. Continental is one of our most recommended tire brands. So if you need a set for your truck, SUV, or van, come see us at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros in Phoenix.
James Taylor released the single Fire and Rain in August of 1970, and it quickly reached number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100. This song is a reminder that summer heat and winter moisture can make the ground under your house foundation unstable. With Millette Construction, you've got a friend that can level your house and fix the water issue that caused the damage. Get on solid ground. Millette Construction is your foundation handyman. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Hi, I'm Cassie from Clouser Drilling, and I'm on KMED.
Always a pleasure to talk with John O'Connor because he's a big legal brain, knows where the bodies are buried, especially in the Watergate era. Boy, what a story that he wrote in his book, Postgate. How the Washington Post betrayed Deep Throat, covered up Watergate, and began today's partisan advocacy journalism. And John, you've been practicing law in San Francisco since 72, huh? Federal prosecutor,
right,
federal cases,
right.
All sorts of stuff.
52 years, Bill. Yeah.
Still doing it, or are you retired from that and just writing books now and doing podcasts? What are you up to?
Well, I tried to retire, and I thought I would just do a few hours a day and do this and that and dabble a bit and go have coffee and play tennis. But unfortunately, lately, people have been hiring me. Old friends call up and old clients, and now I'm busy as I can be, and I just couldn't say no. And so now, actually, I'm extremely busy. And I wish I have a book I want to write, and I'm probably not going to get around to it if I stay like this. I want to write about the history of national security exceptions to the Constitution and how it got us from Watergate into 9/11.
Wow.
And but I'm not gonna they prosecuted my client Deep Throat, the government did, back in Jimmy Carter's day. They decided that if he authorized searches without a warrant on terrorist groups, that was somehow illegal, and they charged him with it. And then that's what led to FISA to protect the agents from bad decisions. But anyways, it ended up doing, the law hamstrung us and caused 9/11. And then after 9/11, they took all the restraints off the national security apparatus. And now we have games like Russiagate going the other way.
Yeah, we essentially have, intelligence agencies prosecuting political figures for political purposes, or at least going after political figures, right? That kind of thing, right?
That's what I'm saying. They cooked up Russiagate along with Hillary. I mean, they were working along with Hillary, but it's really pretty scary when a political candidate can get the national security apparatus at her beck and call for a campaign.
Oh, yeah. What could go wrong there? But I wanted to talk here and take this back, because I was a kid in middle school when Nixon resigned. It was August 8th, 1974. Of course, you were there then, younger man, still working your situation there. And the point is, I remember what I was trained in my government school, and even by reading the papers, is that we had this bad dude, Richard Nixon, who was brought down by these valiant journalists, right? That's kind of how it was painted through my growing up years. And the more I read what you do, like in Postgate and beyond, it just wasn't that way, was it?
No, it wasn't that way at all. In fact, the bad dudes were the journalists. They knew from day one what had happened. And they were on the scene. But if they would have told the truth, it would have hurt the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, where the burglary was. Because what was happening, the DNC had a referral operation to the local bordello, and the out-of-town visitors would be referred there. The CIA used this as an excuse to legitimize its prostitute taping program. That's why they wanted to wiretap, and they're wiretapping naughty boys and naughty girls that were making calls from the DNC to the bordello down the street.
Was this kind of like a mini version of an Epstein's Island kind of thing?
Oh, not exactly. Not exactly. It was just, if you're out of town from Montana, you're a committee man, you go to the DNC and they have these offices to entertain you. And if you say to a secretary, gee, what's a boy do for a little naughty fun? She'll say, well, go into that office, call this number. Let it ring twice, then hang up. You'll get a call back. I'll give you a picture of the girl that's calling you.
Mm.
That's what was going on. And it's just an out of town, just sort of, for the DNC, it was just a way to accommodate its guests, no more than just saying, go to this French restaurant, it's really good, and I'll fix you up with Pierre. This is the same thing. But if the Post revealed that, which it knew, and knew that this had nothing to do with the campaign at all, if the Post did that, it would make the Democratic National Committee look good. And meanwhile, because they used campaign funds, Nixon campaign funds, to fund this operation, the Post was clever enough to turn it around and say this is all a big, nasty Republican plot to interfere with the election. And it wasn't. But it's a little bit complicated. That's what I explain in my book. But that's really what happened. The Post knew it. And there's enough of a line of thought that Nixon was behind it, enough of a trail that almost got the Post there, that led them to their successful campaign. And, who's there to counter it? Nobody is.
Well, Republicans weren't even defending Nixon at the end, were they? Wasn't it because?
No. Because they didn't know any better, Bill. And they didn't want to get in the way of, if you stuck up for Nixon in those days, you were some kind of terrible guy. You might as well be Nixon yourself, because there was so much hate. I mean, it was a wonderful exercise that the Post showed. If you could just demonize a guy, then everybody's afraid to say, oh, well, actually, I kind of like Nixon. It's the same way. They tried to do it with Trump. They want to get Trump in a position where if you say that you might like Trump at all, then you're a terrible human being. It doesn't work as well now with the internet, with widespread talk radio, with many, many different avenues of communication other than the mainstream media. But if you just watch the mainstream media, if you've been shamed into not watching Fox and say, okay, I want to be a good person. I'm going to go right down the middle with this nice middle-of-the-pack CNN. That's where I'm going to get my real reliable news. Guess what? You're not getting reliable news there. But nonetheless, the media controls you, and they control, and they want to control what's happening. Now, let me tell you this, Bill. I'll give you an anecdote here. When Trump gets elected in 2016, a journalism dean at a prominent graduate school of journalism, which I know of this firsthand from a witness that was at the meeting, the journalism professor told his few top graduate students, don't worry, we're going to Watergate him. He used Watergate as a verb. Don't worry, we're going to Watergate him.
So that was the plan right from the very start. They were going to use the same kind of script that the Washington Post used on Nixon then. Really?
Oh, absolutely. What do you think? That's what Russiagate was. And Russiagate, and in this case, though, and in a way, it's somewhat like Watergate because the CIA was involved, and when they had to get their necks free of a noose, they started pointing to Nixon, too. So the CIA was in on that, but more defensively. In the Russiagate thing, they were just offensive players. They just went, and both Comey of the FBI and Brennan of the CIA both joined forces with Hillary and said, let's get rid of this guy. And it almost worked. It almost worked.
Hmm. Do you have any suspicions about the assassination attempt at all? Just curious.
Well, I think the guy's a little crazy. The kid that did it was crazy. But what they're not releasing is, you notice nobody's released anything about what they really found on the computer. Now, Christopher Wray said, well, we found out that he was researching the Kennedy assassination. Yeah. But let's see what's on his social media about anti-Trump hatred. I think we're going to find that the hatred of Trump was so virulent across social media that a kid like this who's impressionable thinks he's Hitler. Once you think Trump is Hitler and you're told Trump is Hitler, why wouldn't you kill him? Why wouldn't you try to assassinate him?
Well, yeah, you're a hero trying to keep literal Hitler, you know, the way they would describe him in leftist journalism, from destroying our democracy. Right, John? Our democracy.
That's right. Hmm. That's right. You know, we're in all this danger. Democracy's in danger with Trump. We'll never have, what's her name, Nicole Wallace on television said, oh, I fear we're never going to have an election again if Trump's elected. Give me a break. He was in for 4 years, didn't try to end elections then. He was upset that the election had been stolen, but he did want to end elections. But that's what's in the brains of these young people. No wonder there's so many that are depressed. Their view of the world is so stark and bleak. The record numbers of suicides, and then you have this kid trying to get rid of Trump. And in a way, he knew it was probably a suicidal act anyway, that they're probably going to shoot him. But he thought he was doing a good thing. But they don't release his social media. And I think we're going to find that, you know, the Republicans or the Democrats are always yelling about, oh, how hateful the Republicans are. Well, as far as I can tell, conservatives don't go out there urging people to kill the other guys. And yet that's what, you know, that's what happens.
Yeah.
And I just think it's terrible. But they'll keep that one hidden.
John O'Connor, and he's the author of Postgate, How the Washington Post Betrayed Deep Throat, Covered Up Watergate, and Began Today's Partisan Advocacy Journalism. Now, you have a piece that just came out the other day on Blaze Media, on The Blaze. And what you are saying is that 50 years after Nixon ended up departing from office, you claim that really our divided country is a harvest of the fraudulent Watergate journalism that started back then. You're saying that this is the ultimate pathway of where we've been taken since the 1970s.
Oh, absolutely. Think about it. Everyone, the weapon, and it's always been the weapon of the left, using the mainstream media. How was George Bush treated? Even Ronald Reagan. Oh, he was a terrible guy. George Bush is a terrible guy. Everybody on the left's a terrible guy. John Kerry comes along, and he's the smartest human being that's ever existed, in spite of his, or Al Gore, who flunked out of divinity school. But those guys are the most beautiful guys in the world. This has been the case ever since. And think about it, there's always this search for a gotcha so that they can start a scandal, like on George W. Bush, the National Guard thing, as if it's a big deal. And for your viewers, they tried to say, well, Bush used influence to get into the National Guard or to miss some meetings at the National Guard rather than go to Vietnam. And they tried to make a big deal out of that. As it turns out, the press, Dan Rather, was caught using doctored evidence. But my point is simply that it's a scandal culture that Watergate has wrought, and the left has tried to continue to drum up scandal after scandal after scandal. Meanwhile, anything that happens on the other side is just whitewashed.
How do you end up reforming a country or actually even having a reasonably fair election, especially when you have today's media in bed with the CIA and the FBI and the American administrative state? Arguably, that's where we find ourselves right now, isn't it, John?
Well, right. On the masthead of the Post every day, it says democracy dies in darkness. And the irony of it is the Post is one of those instruments of darkness that are trying to hide what's really going on. Democracy does die in darkness. And so always read the lips of the far left. Whatever it is they accuse other people of doing, it's what they're doing.
But they also have the ears, and they have the ears and the eyeballs, though, you know, of the of the typical American. So how do you believe that that the United States survives something like this? Because obviously it is corrupt from top to bottom when it comes to the intelligence agencies cannot be trusted. You know, if someone says, if an FBI agent comes up to me, should I talk to them? I don't know how to answer that these days, John, and it didn't used to be that way. And how does a country survive with that kind of suspicion of its own intelligence agencies and its own agencies that supposedly are there to help enforce the law?
Well, the irony of it is that that's the culture that Mark Felt tried to enhance by being deep throat. He was trying to steer the Post into correct reporting, mainly because, and I've interviewed many people from his era, they told me, John, our job was half done by the time we got out of the car to conduct an interview because we were so well trusted by Americans. They could talk to the FBI and know that we'd treat them fairly. Today, we don't know that because that agency has been politicized, which is exactly what J. Edgar Hoover hated. And of course, interestingly, they've depicted J. Edgar Hoover in a caricature as being this terrible guy. He wasn't. He was really a pretty straight down the line guy. But that's the terrible thing that happened. Now, people say, well, didn't your client deep throat, didn't Mark Felt help bring down Nixon? Well, it's a long story, but he just was trying to get some public pressure to keep the grand jury open so he could do his job and investigate everything. But remember this, when he told Woodward that everybody's life was in danger because of the CIA, because they're trying to prevent the public knowing that they're involved in Watergate, Woodward featured that as part of his book and movie, with a little bit of beveling of the edges as to the CIA being involved. But at the time, they printed nothing of it. In other words, when you look at the most dramatic part of the book and the movie, it wasn't printed. It wasn't reported at the time that the CIA was involved. According to Deep Throat, the CIA was involved in Watergate and was threatening people's lives in order to keep from being exposed. Mm. Now, they get that from the top guy at the FBI, and they won't print it. See, now that's what I'm – it's not so much what you print, it's what you don't print.
Yeah, and the lie of omission, right?
That's right, and that's what you have today. For instance, how many lies of omission were there about Biden and Biden's influence peddling in Ukraine, for example,
or even about his infirmity? When it comes right down to it, everybody circled the wagons,
right.
But yet everybody that was able to observe knew. Everybody knew what was going on, but it would never get reported.
Well, that's right, but it never gets reported. And interestingly, right after Watergate, one of the things is the press is patting itself on the back for being so brave during Watergate. They said, oh, it was terrible. In the past, we hid Woodrow Wilson's infirmities. We hid Roosevelt's. No more. This is the new age of openness and fearless reporting. Well, guess what happened? 50 years later, they're hiding an obviously demented president, which is a danger to our country. We're being led by an idiot, really. I mean, I hate to say that, but really a guy that's an idiot. And you don't think Putin knew that? You don't think that had anything to do with his calculus as to whether to invade Ukraine? Yet, you know, the press is, you know, they don't want to do that because that would be picking on somebody that's a good guy. I mean, he's a Democrat. But, you know, not only do they know he's always demented, but they also knew he was influence peddling. There's no doubt about it. You don't need the proof is there. You prove things by inference. Rare does a person, a white collar criminal, come to court and say, "Oh yes, by the way, I did it."
Yeah, no. And by the way, here are the checks, right? Here are the cash checks. That's not the way it works, right?
Yeah. Here's my criminal intent. I'm going to tell you my criminal intent here. No, you don't do that. You prove it by inference and circumstantial evidence. In fact, there's a jury instruction to that account that you can't open up somebody's mind and find out what's in there. You have to do it by circumstantial evidence. Now, if anybody would say that Biden's not in on the deal of peddling influence to Ukraine back in the day with all this money coming out to funneled through Hunter, I mean, you don't have any common sense. As if Biden didn't know that his son was getting the money, and as if his son was not sharing it with him. And not only that, Bill, on Hunter's laptop, we've got a talk recorded where he tells his daughter that I'm not going to take half of your money the way Dad makes me give him half of my income. Well, he just confessed and probably might have been a little drunk or stoned. But so he was being honest, didn't just make it up. And yet the press doesn't hop all over that. That's a clear admission that you rarely will get.
Yeah.
You rarely are going to get that in a bribery case where somebody admits that he's sharing his loot with his dad and the loot is from influence peddling. So guess what? Is Joe in on the deal? If Joe's in on the deal, it's not just a son selling his name. And remember this, these people in these other countries aren't stupid. They're not going to say, "Oh, you've got a last name. I'll give you a bunch of money without any assurances that the guy you can deliver the guy." No, these people are good at graft. That's all they do. And if you're going to buy somebody, you got to make sure you've bought them. And of course, they had plenty of assurances that Joe was acting in league with Hunter. That you're not going to pay him. I mean, these people aren't stupid. If I were giving somebody millions of dollars, if I were in their position, I'd make sure they're delivering for me. It's common sense. And were these people certain of Hunter delivering the old man? Of course. Of course. Now, this is
otherwise, there'd be no cash China. Exchange. There'd be no cash exchange. It's just common sense. And you're right. You know, and yet these are these things we've been talking about these for years. And yet there's a part of me that wonders, is like, are there enough people in the United States, especially given the gaslight media that's always pushing for one particular direction? Is there a possibility? Is there a possibility to get past this? That you need people that have the emotional intelligence of a 12-year-old to understand what's going on here, John. It's a pretty high lift, isn't it?
Well, yeah. What you need is people with attention spans, and we don't have it anymore. The print media is dead, and I'm not. It's much easier to read something on the internet, but the print media is dead. And as Marshall McLuhan says, that requires deep thought. When you are reading something on a piece of paper, you're at a different mode than if you're watching a video. And we've raised generations now, a younger generation of people with the attention span of gnats. And to some degree, you know, the world is a savvier place and everybody knows what everybody else is doing, and there's all these viral things, going across the internet and fads and so forth and so on. But we don't have a deep thinking culture. We don't have people discussing things in a truly reflective way.
It's interesting to go back and watch public affairs programming of the 1960s or 1970s. You know, and various talk shows, and even late night talk shows were incredibly, in many ways, very thoughtful. you know, at times, you know, by comparison, you know, by comparison what we're doing right now. And yet, I think that we have kind of encouraged this, the short attention span. I remember there's a right-wing pundit, I think, Tomi Lahren. I don't know if you've ever heard of her or not.
Sure, I know Tomi Lahren, sure.
Yeah, Tomi. And I remember I was reading something about her one time, and then she was saying, well, I don't like to read. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, no. Oh, no. You know, if you want to really know what's going on, you better be reading. You know, you have to read if you're just going to be going off of the off of videos or even talk shows, you know, to a certain extent. You have to be able to go more deeply these days. And I'm hoping that we go there. I really do.
Well, I hate to say this because I want Trump to win and I'm conservative and I'm common sense. But Trump has never read a book. And at least he's got some street sense and some intelligence. And he's very energetic. I mean, he clearly works hard, and he has good instincts. But he's an instinct man. But yeah. he's not a deep thinker. And I'll tell you, a person who's never read a bit in their life is Kamala. So we have a new level of lower. Oh, what do I want to say? It's not so much intelligence, because I think Trump's intelligent. It's a weird kind of – it's not an educated intelligence. And so, therefore, he sometimes lacks reflectiveness and context and so forth, which I think probably hurt his exercise of judgment on January 6th. Or I don't think he committed a crime on January 6th.
No.
But, Sort of poor judge.
Where you start connecting dots, like what happens when I do this right now, or look at the history, or how will this be perceived? You know, when you start war gaming stuff out, right? You know, when
That's exactly what I'm saying, Bill. You said it better than I. But we do have a culture that is really gone downhill. Like you say, it used to be there was a lot of. Talk shows were reflective. You got much more conversational type of exchange with Johnny Carson, even. You know, forget about the public affairs programs, which were very good. And then you would have debates on these various shows like Crossfire.
Yeah.
You notice there are no debate shows now? Nobody debates. No, it doesn't happen. The worst, the best that can happen is maybe on Fox News they'll have some people with countervailing opinions. That's the closest we get to a debate.
Yeah, yeah, but you can't get in the way of the headlines here, John, that are saying that so and so crushed, so and so annihilated, so and so owned. You know, the other side. You know, that's what passes for debate right now, and we got a problem. It's kind of like what was that? Did you ever see that movie, Idiocracy, a number of years ago?
I did not see Idiocracy.
Okay, all right. You want to see it? You got to go see it. President Camacho. just look it up here, John. President Camacho, all right? I'll get back to you on that one. Hey, before we take off, I want to ask you about your Mysteries of Watergate podcast. How can people find out more about that?
Well, what I would say is really the place to go is my book, The Mysteries of Watergate, which you can get, on paperback or Kindle.
Okay.
Because what it does is it takes you through the 34 points of Watergate. That each one of them is interesting. 34, they're either characters or events that most people don't know about or didn't understand when they heard something about it. And once you go through that and you realize then you then talk about what the public was told. It's much better done in reading form. I do have a podcast that is good if you need podcasts and you go out on walks.
But still, the thing is, read the book then, right? Read the book, get to know it. All right.
Yeah,
we'll
that's
do.
What I said, yeah.
All right. Postgate, How the Washington Post Betrayed Deep Throat, Covered Up Watergate, and began today's partisan advocacy journalism. Of course, we're marking the 50th anniversary of the resignation of President Nixon over Watergate. John, it is great talking with you as always. We'll have you back. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes and being flexible on the time this morning. Okay? Be well.
Oh, great talking to you, Bill. Take care now.
Oh, see ya. My pleasure.